Welcome to Coffee with George and Phil. The first and third Saturday of each month, we show up to help you get from where you are to where you want to be, either personally or professionally, job transition, career pivot, or maybe you're a leader looking for the edge in your business to ignite your team, engage them, retain your talent, whatever that may be. We are your hosts, George Murray and Ethan Connor. I'm filling in for Phil during his absence. We're glad you can meet us early this Saturday morning. We do encourage questions in the chat, and we will try to answer as many as time allows us.
Good morning, Ethan. We want to thank our viewers getting up so early in the morning. We are streaming live on LinkedIn, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and we're also on 12 recorded podcast platforms. So if you are listening to this on a pre-recorded show on YouTube or on one of the podcasts, hit the subscribe button and you'll be notified for upcoming shows.
Today's show is all about helping those in job transition who are over 50 years old. Even with a 1.8 unemployment rate in Minnesota and 3.7 nationally, it's still challenging for professionals due to the lesser roles being available and a wide pool of qualified candidates. It's a simple supply versus demand issue. But before we start, we would like to thank our sponsor, Global HR Research. They are better by every measure, as highlighted by their three pillars: better data, better technology, and better teams. They're 100% US-based, their technology is proprietary, and they have a team that is committed to customer excellence.
Yeah, I'd like to also add that the onboarding and background screening is such a critical part to make sure that you're igniting your workforce, engaging your team, and retaining your talent. So we want to thank Global HR Research.
So George, I heard your book is finally out. Ignite, Engage, Retain. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, given over the last few years, the kind of tables have turned from an employer market to an employee market. And really now the big turnover and the quiet quitting, you know, the kind of air in quotes. So one of the things I tried to reach out to more than 40 CFO, CEOs, and CHROs to just say, hey, this is not just my perspective. It's not just a Minnesota, but it's a global challenge right now. And it's really to help answer and how to ignite your workforce, how to engage your team, even in a hybrid sense or a work from home situation. And most importantly, retain your talent. You can get it on Kindle and Amazon, hardcover and paperback, and it'll soon be out on Audible.
Well, it sounds like a really relevant topic given the times. I'm looking forward to getting a copy. So let's jump into the topic at hand. If you're over 50 and struggling and job transition, you know we always have a subject matter expert we can lean on, get the best insight. Please welcome to the show Harry Urschel, Senior Career Architect, Managing Partner at Hanson Bach, and group leadership at Minnesota Crossroads Career Network. Harry, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Ethan. George, good to see you this morning.
Glad to be here. Good to see you. So, welcome. You know, you and I have worked with folks. I've probably helped a couple of hundred. You've helped a couple more than a couple of thousand. What are the folks over the half century mark? Can you tell these viewers what are some of maybe the mistakes to avoid if you're struggling in job transition? Because we've talked to a few of those.
You know, it's this common perception out there that there's great discrimination against people over 50, and people over 50 often do struggle in their job search. But that said, it's not as prevalent as people seem to think it is. Generally, there's other things going on. And while I'm not naive or suggesting that the discrimination doesn't exist at all, it certainly is not as prevalent. And I think probably the biggest mistake people make is kind of going into the process thinking, well, I've got all this experience. I've proven myself. I don't have to look like I'm on the game all the time, is that I can just go into this and something will come my way because I see the obvious experience I've had that's so valuable in the marketplace. And the reality is it's competitive, and there's you do have to be on your game, but not just in terms of being able to answer questions well, but how you, your first impressions and how you come across and how you exude energy or passion for and interest in what you're doing. Those are just such critical aspects of landing a job. You know, I tell people often is that it's easier for them to blame age discrimination than it is to look internally in terms of what, how am I coming across and what am I doing?
Yeah, that's a great point. As a matter of fact, I just talked to a few people this past week, and that was one of the first comments was, well, I understand that there's age discrimination. And my response always is, well, first of all, and you said one of the three, energy, enthusiasm, positive attitude. Absolutely. And second, don't sound like you're going to be able to retire in the next 6 months to a year, because absolutely, if you're looking for a leader position, they want somebody that's going to ignite themselves and their teams.
Right. No question is, desire to continue to grow, to continue to learn, to continue to lead and be able to make an impact over a period of time at an organization. You know, you don't have to come across like you're looking for a job for the next 20 years either. But at the same time, if it appears like you're looking for a paycheck for the next 2 years till you can retire, or 4 years or whatever, it's not going to make the impression. And so many times people, you know, even though they might be over 50, it's not about the age per se. It's about, are you coming across old? You know, and it's going back to those things of, do you look like you're ready to retire? Do you look, do you come across with a lack of energy? And are you not curious anymore? And do you have almost a cynical attitude about the job search and your career? And I know people in their 20s that come across that way, and they don't get jobs either. You know, it's not about age. It's about that attitude and perspective.
You're absolutely right. One of the things I love to tell people is that, you know, we've been told all our lives to act our age. Well, when we get up there in the years, if we start to act that age, it comes across. So I tell people, don't act your age, right? Make sure that you have at least a half tank of gas in your motorcycle.
Well, you know, the other part of this is, everyone up and down the spectrum needs to kind of readjust their thinking on all this, because, within the next few years here, Social Security, to be able to get to full Social Security, is 70 years old now instead of 65. And people are working longer into their careers. And, you know, it's the old adage of, 60 is or 70 is the new 60 or whatever, however you want to put that. But it is true. People are living longer. People are active longer. I know our perceptions change as we age ourselves, but people aren't looking as old as they used to when they're 60 or 70 years old. I turned 60 this year, it was funny because when you hit those decade markers, everybody makes a big deal as like, you turn 30, 40, 50, and I could care less. 60 somehow felt a little different. But that said, I don't see myself retiring anytime soon. I enjoy what I do. I have a real passion and interest for what I do. And it's a matter of, do you still want to get out there and be productive and add value into an organization and lead and be able to make a difference?
So, Harry, you mentioned that there is some truth to the idea that there's some age bias out there and with employers. But even in spite of that, what are some things that folks can do to sort of better their odds when they're looking for a job at these higher ages?
Yeah. Well, start by, as you know, we've kind of been mentioning this point multiple times, and there's much more to it, but start looking in the mirror. How are you coming across? And it's not obviously appearance matters, in terms of do you have a haircut that looks like you're very aged, or do you you need to get a trim that might be a little more modern or whatever the case? How are you dressing? Is it up to date? You don't need to go around wearing skinny jeans, but at the same time, these days, if you're a guy, pleated pants and things that are clearly out of the 80s is not going to help you look up to date anymore. Women, it's always more difficult to figure out what to wear because there's so many more options. Men, there's, make some decisions on what kind of pants, what kind of shirt, and a couple other things. But women, there's a lot more options. But beyond that is, are you showing continued growth in your career, or at least expansion of responsibilities, or has your career been stagnant for the last, you know, 10, 15 years? Are you able to articulate concisely and effectively what makes you unique, what you bring to the table that others don't? You know, I think one of the perceptions, or one of the misperceptions, or why there people think there's age discrimination too, is when you're not getting jobs right away. I had a guy I was working with a few years ago that he said previous times in his career when he was looking for a job, he would put his resume up online or update his LinkedIn profile and he'd get calls and land in something pretty quickly. Now, you know, he's been in his last job for 12 years and crickets, he's not hearing anything. But during that time, his career really grew tremendously. So he's at a much higher level. He's more specialized. He's making a lot more money. There's just fewer jobs at that level than there were when he was earlier in his career. You know, if you're a staff accountant, there's jobs everywhere. If you're a CFO, there's only one here and there every so often.
That's a really great point.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish that.
Well, just the reality of understanding the nature of the market and knowing that there's you're shooting at fewer targets. So it's going to take more time and effort and take a little longer.
Harry, in my first book, Hired, I talk about a scheduled day and how important that structure of each day. And could you give our viewers some tips, things you see folks who land faster should be considering doing differently?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, scheduling your days, building routines, I think has all kinds of benefits. For one, just mentally, I think it puts you in a better place. You know what you're going to be doing next. You know, when we're in our jobs, we have our daily routines. We know what's expected. We know what we got to get done. And you're almost on autopilot to a degree of going through your day. When you're looking for a job, there's no routines. There is no set schedule where you have to be anywhere. The only objective is get a job, but that's a really big thing. And so you have to break it down. I think blocking out time during the day for different tasks you need to get done. You've been extraordinary, George, in terms of making sure to meet with as many people as you possibly can during that period. And that's just so critically important. The more people you're talking to, the more things are likely to bubble up. And so many times people try to do their entire job search from behind their computer screen, you know, just surfing for job postings and applying to a dozen things every day.
That's, you know what, I'd love to meet somebody who could actually do more than I did for 6 months each day. I was averaging seven a day. When I tell people like that, they got a heart attack. They're like, wow, that's a lot of work. And I'm like, well, you're in job transition. What else do you have to do? You know, this is heavy lifting.
I couldn't agree more. And I understand that not everybody's going to be able to pull that off, but more is always better. And so if you can, you know, get a little bit better each week, you know, be realistic with yourself. Don't set, you know, if you haven't been having networking meetings at all and now you're trying to schedule, you know, 15 or 20 for the next week, it's not going to happen. And then you're going to be even more discouraged because you didn't accomplish what you set out to do for the week. And so be realistic with yourself, but keep improving from week to week and scheduling your time, building in routines to your day, blocking out time to get things done that are uncomfortable for you, that are easy to procrastinate and then stick to that schedule, I think does tremendous amounts in terms of accomplishment. But I think managing your attitude during this process, being a lot more deliberate than you are when you're in your normal work routine, is critically important because it is an emotional roller coaster for everybody.
I absolutely agree. You know, I've coached, and I'm sure you have as well, even the most introverted to get out there and get from having none to having three or four a week. And that's huge for them. We just make sure that their strategy is a little bit different than maybe somebody like you or I.
I agree. And then just keep adding to it. And they get easier. You know, I mean, that first meeting is always stressful. And same thing, you know, when you're making phone calls and reaching out to people, that first time you that first call you have to make, your phone feels like 100 pounds pulling it up your ear, you know. but the second one is a little bit easier. The third one is easier yet. And so put stuff into groups, you know, don't just make one call today and then one call, you know, this morning, one call this afternoon, because then each call feels like that first one. But group them together that you're going to make 9 or 10 calls in a row. And by the time you get to that fifth, sixth call, it's routine for you and it's not a big deal.
Great advice.
So, yeah, so we're kind of transitioning into discussion of networking here. What strategies for networking do you find most successful for folks over 50 in job transition? And if you could kind of give our viewers some advice on that?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people try to do their networking strictly by email. And, you know, that's great for introductions, but you've got to get to a point where you're talking to them, whether it's on the phone or a Zoom meeting or in person for coffee, mm-hmm. in person being best. And that's really where it makes a difference. If that's where they learn your personality, as long as you're sending email or just sending a resume, you're nothing more than data to them. And they need to see that you've got that energy. You've got a drive to do the things that you're saying you want to do. And the only way they can gather that is through conversations with you. And so getting in front of, or at least having conversations with people, is so critically important. And I think especially for over 50, because the assumption often is that you're going to be more sedate or, you know, not have energy or passion. And you need to be able to show that you have that. And, you know, be authentic. Don't try to make yourself something you're not. If you're not mm-hmm. a big personality, don't try to fake it. It's going to come across fake. But be enthusiastic about the things you're pursuing. You should be anyway. And they need to see that from you.
Yeah, be yourself, because everybody else is taken.
Exactly.
As the market is shifting, Harry, with the stock market dropping, costs going up, talks about a recession, do you see more challenges for those people in 50 landing a role? And if so, can other things they can do to be more successful in landing their next job?
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting job market, as you know, these last couple of years. And there's this perception that, you know, there are so many more jobs than people. And that's technically true, but most of the available jobs are at those lower levels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you wanted a job in an Amazon warehouse, you could get something this afternoon, right? But if you're looking for a chief operating officer or a CFO role, that's going to take a little longer and be more difficult. As the market changes, I don't know, you know, I think one of the shifts that has happened is companies are valuing people with more experience, and age is not as big of a factor as it was 5 or 6 years ago. And, you know, you still have to be able to show that interest and passion for a job, but it's not the same thing that it was before. And so going forward, it's impossible to really predict exactly what's going to happen, but I don't think there's going to be the same challenges that there have been. The employee pool is shrinking because baby boomers are retiring at record numbers, and there's not as many people available out in the marketplace anymore.
Yeah, to that point, I actually, in my second book, I talk about the statistics. So there's an average of 35,000 baby boomers retiring and only 25,000 entering the workforce every day. So, yeah. And we're already 1.7 million gap between jobs open and available people. So it's just going to continue to grow.
I agree. And, you know, that they're going to need those older employees as well. And I think there's a greater recognition of that all the time.
So how important are recruiters as part of a job search strategy? And if you kind of walk through some do's and don'ts when you're working with recruiters in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, recruiters can be critically important, but realize still that recruiters really only place a small percentage of positions out there. They're a part, I always think of it as, you know, they're another arrow in your quiver, but they're not your whole strategy. And so you want them to be aware of you. Most recruiters, unfortunately, don't necessarily want to talk to you unless they actually have something that they're working on right now that fits your background, but you still want to get information out to them, connect with them and talk to them as much as possible. Again, also showing that you're a candidate, that you've got interest and you're ready to go for a good period of time and that you want to make a difference out there. You want to be attractive to them. A lot of times people think of recruiters as their career counselor, and they're really not. They're the gate towards potential positions for you. And so you want to make the same impression on them as you would make with an employer.
Hey, Harry, so it's still an employee market, but what if I was struggling to get interviews after 6 months out there? What should I do differently or anything at all?
You know, I think especially when someone's been in their job search for a while, that they've gone away from the basics. They're tired and frustrated many times with the networking and all the basic things that they have to do. And so they go back to just getting online and applying for a bunch of jobs. Mm-hmm. You have to stick to those basics. And I think people don't realize how far they've drifted from that when it's been a long job search for them. And so review, you know, what am I doing? Am I talking to enough people every day? Am I pursuing opportunities that, might not be the perfect fit, but I can definitely do. But you have to realize that your resume is not going to open those doors for you if you're not a perfect match for the job. It's got to be conversations you have with people. I just keep going back to, I sound like a broken record, but you've got to talk to a lot of people. It just makes all the difference in the world.
Well, I also suggest people that are in career transition, when they're in that situation, take a micro vacation, because again, they're all frustrated, yeah, right? Even if it's a 3-day weekend, you know, you take that Friday, go walk around Lake Minnetonka on Friday, right? And then take the whole weekend for the family and step away from the computer and everything else and get recharged.
I totally agree. You know, even on a daily basis, I think make the most use of your day during business hours, but then walk away guilt-free in the evening and realize, you know, okay, I'm going to get back at this tomorrow and I'm not going to, you know, I'm doing the things I need to do. I think many times people spend hours into the late into the evening still, you know, surfing job postings online, and it's just a draining process for most people.
Well, Harry, thank you so much for your time. Just to conclude, yeah, one final question. Is there anything that you believe we should know or our viewers should know that we didn't bring up in any of our questions?
No, you know, it will come about. It takes persistence. It takes a lot of discipline in terms of your activity, but as well as mental discipline for your attitude. And I think a lot of times people do sabotage their own success because they start getting discouraged, and that comes out in all their conversations. And nobody wants to hire an Eeyore, right? And so,
hey, you read the book. Right. Well, Harry, I want to thank you for showing up early on a Saturday and giving great points, because you've helped thousands, like I said, thousands and thousands of people. One of the things, other than the managing partner at Hasenbeck, is that Harry leads the Minnesota Crossroads Career Network. Fabulous networking group out there. If you're not in Minnesota, I'm sure there's other opportunities in your location. Reach out.
Absolutely. Thanks, George. Glad to be with you guys.
Thank you. Well, we want to thank Harry for showing up here on an early Saturday morning for this live show. And if this is pre-recorded, you could be listening at midnight. However, great opportunities as far as helping you if you're struggling in transition, especially if you're over that half-century mark. Reach out to Harry. He's one of those Uber networkers I reference in my first book, and he's willing to help others.
All right. We want to thank Harry again for joining us this morning. If you need more advice, reach out to Harry to get more on the Crossroads Network. And if you're a leader in need of finding talent, you can also connect with him. Our next show here is scheduled for October 1st. We're going to talk about robust onboarding and putting your company's best foot forward. Till then, we want to wish our viewers a great weekend and week ahead. And remember to get better.
Achieve forward.
And it looks like Carrie Bales.